I want to ask you once again, if you would, for the final time this year, I guess, turn to Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6. I'm a little loud here, I think. I get all messed up if I start listening to myself. It's good to be together on Christmas. Amen. Blessed opportunity we've been given today. Thank you for seizing it and making good on the opportunity to be here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we are preparing to read. And as we have read this Christmas season, and we pray, God, that this morning, that as we read it and as we try to say some things in explanatory nature of it, God, that you would help us, that you would empower your word as it goes forth to your people's ears and to their hearts, that we would be renewed and refreshed in our vision of Christ, his coming, and the glorious nature of him and what we have in him. So that this day, the day that we celebrate the coming of our Savior, is a special day. It is a day in which we celebrate and worship and proclaim differently than the world does, because it means something drastically different to us than what it means to the world. Lead us and guide us and direct us. Help us. May you receive all glory and all honor. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6. For unto us, I'm glad I'm us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And that is God's prophetic word 700 years before the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. And it still resonates for us 2,000 years later. And all God's people said, amen. The question that is avoided by all the lights and the trees and the family get-togethers and the presents at Christmas is not who came, but why did he have to come? If we can somehow avoid that question, if we can somehow avoid the question of why Christ had to come, then we can go through our Christmas celebrations without being confronted by our sins, without being confronted by our unrighteousness, without being confronted by our condemnation, without being confronted about our spiritual deadness, and without being confronted about the price that must have been paid for us to have salvation. That question of why did God have to come is the question that we cover up by all the other things we do to somehow pretty up this day. But I do want to remind you this morning that Christmas is about Jesus being crushed for my sin and your sin. And as best as we have tried to avoid that thought, I do not want to let you succeed in doing that today. So Isaiah prophesies 700 years, about 700 years before the first Christmas takes place. And he prophesies that Christmas will be about a child that is born. A baby will be born of a human woman, and he will be fully human so that he may identify with humanity. This baby will be born of a virgin woman because he will also be a son given. He will be the Son of God, so that he will be fully human and fully God. He will shoulder the burden of our sinfulness, and he will be responsible for our salvation. His name will be Wonderful Counselor. He will have the words of life, and his words will light our paths to give us direction and show us true righteousness. And to those who are weak and without ability, he will be to them a sovereign, strong Savior as he fights for them and fights for us by being our mighty God. His name is Everlasting Father because he will always relate to his people as a father relates to his children. He will guide us and he will love us and he will shepherd us and he will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And he will die for us as a father would do for his children. And he will do it forever. He has come to make us the children of God, and we will be the children of God for all eternity. His final name, given by Isaiah, is the Prince of Peace. And it is that name that I want to speak to you this morning on Christmas. Let me arrange my thoughts under three headings. Number one, the absence of peace. If God comes to bring peace, and if Christ is the Prince of Peace, then the implication is without his coming and without Christ, there is an absence of peace. The problem that you and I experience in our earthly existence is that we live in an environment that is full of conflict, full of division, and full of lack of lasting peace. It's going to be strange this morning because I am going to quote George Carlin on Christmas morning. But it is always good for us to see how the world sees things and not just how the church sees things. So comedian George Carlin waxed theological when he penned down what he called the paradox of our time. And I want to read it to you tonight, so listen carefully. This is the world from the eyes of the world. He says, "The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter timbers. Wider freeways, but narrower viewpoints. We spend more, but we have less. We buy more, but we enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families. More conveniences, but less time. We have more degrees, but less sense. More knowledge, but less judgment. More experts, but more problems. More medicine, but less wellness. We drink too much, we smoke too much, we spend too recklessly, we laugh too little, we drive too fast, we get too angry too quickly, we stay up too late, we get up too tired, we read too seldom, we watch TV too much, and we pray too little. We have multiplied our possessions, but we have reduced our values. We talk too much, we love too seldom, we hate too often. We've learned how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to a life, not life to years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet the new neighbor. We've conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but we have polluted the soul, S-O-U-L. We've split the atom, but not our prejudice. We write more, but we learn less. We plan more, but we accomplish less. We've learned to rush, but not to wait. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but we have less communication. These are the times of fast foods and slow digestion, tall men and short characters, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the times of world peace but domestic warfare, more leisure but less fun, more kinds of food but less nutrition. These are the days of two incomes but more divorce, of fancier houses but broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throw away more morality, one night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It is a time when there is much in the show window and nothing in the stockroom. A time when technology can bring this letter to you, and a time when you can either choose to share it or just hit the delete button. Those are the words of a person who has to some degree come to conclude that humanity is sagging under the burden of emptiness. And as much as we can do and as much as we often do, you and I cannot do anything about the conflict outside of us, nor can we do anything about the conflict inside of us, nor the conflict that we have with God. Solomon came to the same conclusion in the book of Ecclesiastes. In case you don't know, Solomon lived the American dream. He had everything. And he found that wisdom left him frustrated and restless. Work made him tired and angry. Pleasures caused him pain. And stuff just made him sick and sad. In everything that Solomon had and in everything that Solomon experienced, the one thing that he could not find in any of that was peace. And the people that Isaiah writes to here in Isaiah chapter 9 are desperately seeking peace, and they can find none. The more they tried to do, the darker their world became, and the deeper they sunk into the mire of their own sin. Given all of the great accomplishments of men, and man has accomplished great things, given all of their accomplishments, the one thing that man cannot accomplish is peace. Peace is always out of our reach. And let me remind you political folks, peace cannot be legislated either. The road that we are all on is a dead-end street. And the best we can do, the best we can do is make the best of it. Now, I understand that you're sitting there this morning thinking to yourself, politely, that's a pretty negative message for Christmas morning. But I want you to see that Christmas is first negative. That's why we want to cover it up. That's why we want to pretty it up with all we do during Christmas. We don't want to deal with the ugliness that is Christmas. We don't want to think about our own emptiness. We want to fill our lives with stuff and things and people so that we don't have to think about how empty our lives are, and also understand the fact that the new year is going to be just as empty as the previous year. We don't want to think about that. So we distract ourselves. But I want you to think about it this morning. Because you'll see Christmas better when you see that we live in a world that is without peace. And my life and your life are void of peace unless Christ lives there. Number two, not only do we see here the absence of peace, but I want to secondly say some positive things, you'll be glad, about the achievement of peace. So the absence of peace cannot be worked out by doing better or trying harder. Religion does not provide lasting peace. If you and I live in a world that lacks peace, if my life is without peace, if I can do nothing and you can do nothing about the conflicts outside of us and the conflicts inside of us and the conflict that we have with God, if we can do nothing about that, we come to only one conclusion. We need somebody. We need somebody to bring peace to us who are without peace. And that is what is so wonderful about what Isaiah prophesies to the Hebrews here. It is the bad, the absence of peace, that makes the good, the coming of peace, so good. So God says here, he's not only sending a place of unpeacefulness, peace, but he's sending to us, the Prince of Peace. This Messiah will be the Prince of Peace, which means he will be the Captain of Peace, the Chief of Peace, the Ruler of Peace. He is peace. You see, Christmas, according to Isaiah, is about Jesus Christ coming to make peace for us. Because we can't make peace on our own. So what I want you to do this morning is to get a good look at yourself. And when you look at yourself, I want you to see the reality that there is no hope in you. Amen. And the desperation that you feel when there is no hope inside of you, and I don't care how many psychiatrists and things tell you to look deep inside of yourself. No, you must look into yourself and see nothing there and look to Christ and see that He is your only hope. We must look outside of ourselves because outside of ourselves is the answer for our peace. So the wonder of Christmas is not that man has found God. The wonder of Christmas is that God has found man. Christmas is what God has done for us in Christ. He is a child born and a son given. The purpose of His coming is for our salvation, for our peace with God. Because we are sinners. Say amen. Because of our sin, we are at war with God. I spoke to a lady one time, an older lady. She was probably in her 80s, approaching the end of her life. And I told her, we were talking at a dinner table, and I was talking to her and I was talking to her about how we are haters of God, and we are hostile toward God, and we are at war with God, and it's a wonder that God would even look our way. And she said, wait a minute. She said, I've never hated God. I've always loved God. You see, with that attitude, you'll never look beyond yourself. We are at war with God. We are alienated from God. We are, the Bible calls, an enemy of God. We are hostile toward God. We don't want God. And here's the amazing thing. The amazing truth of Christmas is not that the offending party, us, has sought forgiveness from the one we offended, God. It's not that. It's that the one who was offended, God, has come and accomplished for us who offended Him, us, peace with Him. So I want you to write down a key truth. Jesus has come not to simply make peace possible. He has come to accomplish peace with God for all of those who trust in Him. Say amen. Peace is not just possible with Christ. Peace with God is accomplished in Christ. And peace can only be found in this one sent by God. Peace can only be found in Jesus Christ. And that is why this is such a bright and joyous event today. Christmas is bright and joyous and wonderful because it's not about what we get. It's about what has been accomplished for us. What we can never buy, what we can never obtain, what we can never have, God has given it to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, absolutely free. Why would we want to cover that up? Why would we want to hide that from our children and our family? Isn't that the greatest news ever told? Isn't that the very thing that our children and our families need to hear? And we cover it up. And we go through another Christmas, and our families and our children never have to wrestle with that fact that there is no peace, and peace can only be found in Christ. Christmas is about Christ being crushed. This child born and this son given was born and was given to go to the cross and die for us as he bears in his own body our sins and receives in his own body the wrath of God for every one of our sins, past, present, future, and takes our hell so that we might be forgiven and reconciled to God and made at peace with God forever. And we want to cover that up? The barrier that stands between us and God, sin, has been destroyed by Christ on the cross. Christ has propitiated, he has appeased God's anger, and he has appeased God's wrath by taking it upon himself that was against us who are sinners. And now, because of what Christ has done, the Prince of Peace has made us who were enemies of God at peace with him. You see, the very thing that we cannot accomplish, the most important thing that each of us need, God has accomplished for us in the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ. Number three, the absence of peace, the achievement of peace in Christ Jesus. Thirdly, I want to say just a word or two about the acceptance of peace. So I've said this for 20 years to you who have been here 20 years. Christmas is not about being kind. It's not about giving gifts or receiving gifts or gathering with family. Christmas is about trusting by faith the person of Jesus Christ and him alone for your salvation and celebrating the fact that you are at peace with God because of him. Christmas is not about achievement, my achievement, your achievement. It's about our acceptance. Everything has been accomplished by Christ. The question is, will you simply receive it? A child has been born. A son has been given, and he has come to shoulder our sins. He has brought to us the words of life, and he is the light in a world of darkness. He is the mighty God who has come to fight for us on the cross. He is the everlasting Father who has come to make us the children of God. He is the Prince of Peace who has come to accomplish peace with God for us who had no hope of anything but eternal alienation from God in the lake of fire. That's what we celebrate. There's coming a day when all of those who are in Christ will experience no more conflicts. All conflicts will be over. There is coming a day when all hatred will be ended. There is coming a day when sickness and death will no longer war against our bodies. There is coming a day when sin will no longer be a part of our lives. How many are looking forward to that? There is coming a day when the Bible says the lion will lay down with the lamb. There is coming a day when God will not share his glory with anyone or anything. There is coming a day when there will be eternal peace in heaven, on earth. And you will only be a part of that if you have by faith trusted and depended on Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. There was a time when I got so sick of what we did with Christmas that our family would take a vacation during the week of Christmas. Just get away so we didn't have to look at it. One year, we typically went, but the one year that I'm thinking about, we went to Myrtle Beach during that week of Christmas. It used to be a great week because nobody was there. And on Christmas Eve of this particular year, we went to First Baptist Church of Myrtle Beach for their Christmas Eve service. There was probably, in addition to me and Denise and Justin and Kelsey, probably five other people there on Christmas Eve. The entire staff was gone. There was one man, they left one man behind who was given the chore of conducting the Christmas Eve service, and I'm sure in his heart he wished they had never scheduled that service. And what this man did during that service was he took a small nativity scene. He brought a nativity scene up that had the nativity, the stable, and the characters of the nativity. And he would pick one up and he would talk about it. And he would try to explain to us what happened that Christmas day. He talked about Mary and he talked about Joseph and he talked about the shepherds, and he would hold up the little figures, and he talked about the donkeys and the sheep and the angel that was there. He talked about all those and held those little pieces up, but then he got to the end and he paused. When he got to the most important part, the reason that everything else was there, the baby, he paused, and he apologized, because someone had taken the baby. He had all the other figures there, but he didn't have the baby. He didn't have the baby to show us. He says, I'm sorry, somebody has stolen Christ. And he thought that was a disaster. And I thought it was perfect. Because that's what we do. When we look at our Christmas celebration, there's a lot there. But what is typically missing is Jesus. Somebody stole Jesus that day, but we took him out of Christmas a long time ago, didn't we? He has not been a part, or at best, he's a minor part of our celebration. But I want to bring you back. Christmas is about a child born. It is about a son given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. It is when we rest in this Christ, it is when we rest in Jesus, that we have peace with God. And we have everlasting peace only in our resting in Christ. So in the end, doesn't matter what you got. Doesn't matter what you gave. It doesn't matter what you have experienced or what you will experience today or who you see. In the end, it's about whether you have trusted your soul and given your life to this gift of God, Jesus Christ. Let's pray.